Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Wednesday, December the 18th, 2024, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter How It Works. On page 65, we went back to our lives through one paragraph ending with moments of triumph were short-lived, and we're sharing on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kim H., 12 Traditions, Sharla W., and readers of the text, Harlan G., Judith S.P., and Susan S.H. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, December 17th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 22,000, that's 22,000, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 22,001, 22,001. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Kim H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. The 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 11, continued to take personal inventory, and when, 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Yeah.
Thank you, Kim H. And Sharla W. is going to read the 12 traditions. Welcome, Sharla.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare to come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me be of service today. God bless you. Pass.
Thank you, Sharla W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works. Page 65, we went back through our lives, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And this morning, Harlan G. is going to start us off. Good morning, Harlan.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you very much for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. This is a paragraph that is very, very important for me. The first thing that I notice about this paragraph is the very first sentence. We went back through our lives. The second sentence. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. And I have to remember that there's a word that is very conspicuous here by its absence. What word is that? The word is perfect. There is no word perfect in here. And so I have to abandon anything like a perfect four-step to catapult me into some plane of existence where the disease will be eradicated. That is not going to happen. Bill Wilson knew that at the end of his life, we are perfectionistic, immature, sensitive rebels, and that we will strive for perfection. And if we can't be perfect, we don't want to play at all. This is a process of uncover, discover and discard. Uncover the things in our makeup that have been killing us. Discover the true nature of the defects of character which have been plaguing us throughout our lives. And then in the process, we're going to discard those defects of character. We're not going to discard them. We're going to have God discard those defects of character in the process. So we look back here and we see to conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. I lived in a black and white world in my disease. Either I was completely white as snow and the driven innocent snow, and everybody else was wronging me and I was this horrible victim of the world, or I was this ogre, and I came out from under the bridge terrorizing the villagers. So either I was to blame for everything, or I was to blame for nothing. And as is so much the case in life, somewhere in the middle. So what is the truth. So I have to look for the area of my life in each different resentment of where was I at fault. And sometimes people get very hung up, and we're going to discuss this a lot more on page 67 when we get to column 4, the paragraph beginning with referring to our list again. That's going to be column 4 of our 4-column resentment inventory. And a lot of people ask the question, well, what about if I was violated in some way? You don't have a part in that. But in everything else, I am going to list objectively. Objectively is the key. I'm going to list objectively in my 4-column resentment inventory. Then I'm going to do the fear and then the sexual harms done others. I am going to list the people, places, or institutions that I am resentful at. I'm going to put down the cause that I'm resentful at them, 19 words or less. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to list the basic instinct of life in the 3rd column that is affected by this resentment, and then I'm going to put down my part with the defects of character. Very simple. There's no reason to overdo it in my head. It's a very, very simple process. This is not a list of dirty, filthy, nasty items. This is not a list of anything except what it says in the inventory process, and I'm going to use this 4-column inventory to uncover, discover, and discard the things that have been plaguing me my entire life. And with that, I will pass. Lynn, thank you so much for your service. With that, I pass.
Thank you for getting us started, Harlan. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every 3rd day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, so that would be Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Lisa B.
Stephanie O.
South Carolina.
Tina
Nancy
S.
Rachel K.
Nancy O.
Okay, can you stop, please, just for a second? Because I heard so many people, my pen couldn't get them all. I heard Lisa B. I heard Stephanie. I heard Rachel K. And then I heard a whole bunch of other people. Who did I miss, please?
Nancy R.
Tina S.
Yep. Okay, stop, please, just for a second. Okay, and I added Nancy R. and Tina S., and there was somebody else.
Jen A.
There we go. Sorry, Jen. Okay, so my lineup right now is Lisa B., Stephanie, Rachel K., Nancy R., Tina S., and Jen A. Let's go with those, and then we'll pick up where I left off, okay? So Lisa B., good morning. Please go ahead for us.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in South Carolina, and I spell my name L-E-S-A. I really love this reading, and I'm grateful for all the shares. This is such a fabulous place to be in the big book together and to be studying it together and to be going over it so closely. I keep learning. I learn that I really don't know anything much, you know, and my experience just keeps becoming richer and richer, and I keep uncovering more and more. So the first thing, you know, I just want to share where I am today as a recovered overeater and going through this work, and I chose to go back through the steps again with a sponsor. I didn't break my abstinence. I really wanted to have a new, deeper experience, and it's just been so powerful. So where it says sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. Yes, I've had some remorse where, and it takes me out of being useful to others. It blocks me from being useful to God, and it keeps me all knotted up. And I need to put that down, you know, with pen and paper and share what that is. What is that remorse about? And then the other thing I saw is that I often minimize the things that really shouldn't be minimized. And I often exaggerate and inflate the things that really shouldn't be exaggerated, you know, and it's not that I'm wrong or doing it wrong, but I'm stuck in my head, you know, and in my mind is where the disease resides. And that's why I need the sunlight of God to help me, and always praying before I start this work, asking God to direct me, to show me what is it I need to see, and then sharing it with recovered fellows. And then sometimes, you know, they're led by their higher power to share something. Sometimes not. Sometimes just keep writing about it. I'll uncover really what my truth is, and oftentimes it's down at the bottom of this fear, you know, that I didn't even know was there, but I have to just keep digging. And I love where it says, to conclude that others were wrong was as far as I ever got. So I stay in that victim mode. When resentment is lifted, you know, freedom and joy can come in. But the primary relationship, the whole thing that this is about is really, is I'm doing step three, you know, when I'm writing this, when I'm starting my fourth step, I'm actually demonstrating the action part of step three. And it's all about getting connected to this power, this amazing power that's going to continue to guide me and lead me in freedom to do his work and to be useful to others. But there's so much joy here. And I just, you know, wanted to stand up and, you know, put my voice out with everybody and hit star one. It's so important that I connect with everyone on a regular basis, including this group. I'm so grateful for the recovery and the joy of this 12-step way of life. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa B. Next, we have Stephanie. Stephanie, could you please give us your last initial and where you're calling from?
Yes, thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Stephanie O. from Long Island, New York, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and chronic relapser. Oh, wow, it's really hard to follow these two people. I love them both so much. And hearing this this morning puts me right where my feet are standing. So I am in step one doing that work, and yesterday one of the students that I worked with I needed to advocate for. And in advocating for that student, I had to go against the grain of my administration because I was going to be creating a problem for them. And Stephanie doesn't like to create problems for anybody. I really just like to agree with everyone and everyone, you know, and keep everything happy, 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 joy, joy. I'm a team player. But yesterday it was wrong. And they were making a mistake and that was going to harm one of my students. And I got so upset, and so much of what I was getting upset about was that I, Stephanie, was not consulted when they made this decision. And work very family, the student's mother has cerebral palsy, and I just felt that they were being, you know, discriminated against because they wouldn't fight this decision. And I'm just so blessed that I took the pause in the middle of the day, and I said, okay, God, along with the food that I can't handle and along with the behaviors that I'm not in control of once I do them, I'm not in control of what these people do. But what I am in control of is advocating and doing the next right thing and being of service to this student and his mother. And then after that, I have to let it go. I mean, I woke up this morning still feeling a little angry, but to be honest, I'm also a little nervous because I also have my formal observation today. And one thing has nothing to do with the other. And so I ask God to remove my fear and to do the next right thing and then surrender it at the cross with my food. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie O. from Long Island, New York. Next, we have Rachel K., followed by Nancy R. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everybody. Hi, this is Rachel K., compulsive overeater from Indiana. Excuse me. And yeah, boy, it's really hard to follow the first people who have shared because y'all shared some really great stuff that, you know, I was like, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But with this paragraph, I noticed a couple of things. One of them, and somebody mentioned this, that it does say sometimes it was remorse and then we restored ourselves. So it is okay, according to the big book, for me to be in that first column, to be resentful at myself. Now, the way I make amends to myself is by doing the rest of the steps. But I can be, you know, on my resentment list, resentment against myself. Now, later on in the big book, in the 11th step, it talks about we do not drift into morbid reflection. And the 12 and 12 talks about not wallowing in the messy bog of self-hatred. So, but you know, if I've done something crappy, I can put myself and I resent myself, you know, I can work a four step on myself, just like I would on anybody else. And the other thing that, you know, I really noticed is that it says the first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. It acknowledges that, yeah, they're not, everybody is, you know, doing their best all the time, or maybe they're doing their best, but their best really is not very good. That yes, there is wrong in the world. There is evil. There are people who do bad things. There are people who do bad things to me, do bad things to others, and I get pissed off about that. But it says that's as far as we got. So if I just do column one and column two, I may be quote unquote right, or it may be the truth. But, you know, to quote a popular TV doctor, how's that working for you? You know, I mean, it just, it's not going to do me any good. And that's why I have to go on and look at my part. If I just say you're wrong and you did this to me, that may be a fact, but I have a part, even if that part is hanging on to that resentment, is even if my part is letting that be my higher power, or your actions be my higher power rather than letting God be my higher power, is letting that event shape who I am and how I react rather than letting God shape how I act. That can be my part, even if I have, you know, even if I didn't instigate it or I didn't cause it. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. Have a great day, everybody, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel K. from Indiana. Next up, we have Nancy R., followed by Tina S. Good morning, Nancy.
Thank you so much. I'm now unmuted. Thank you, Lynn. I'm Nancy R., a compulsive overeater in New York, and boy, I had a tug to get on the line today, December 18. 18 in my religion is another word for life, the number 18. It was also the birthday of a beloved boyfriend who remains in my heart. Gosh, I was thrilled to hear that Harlan read the lead today. I've learned so much from Harlan, and right, we went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. I have his words, do not see perfection. So it was great to hear him say it live, as well as everything else I've heard said in his share. And I also loved everyone's share. I also have written, I can forgive and leave the best retribution to God. That was also another teaching I had written down from him. And I also have written, revenge is the best revenge is living well. But I do, if I forgive, which I need to forgive, I need to see where my part, what's my part. It's a phenomenal process. Yes, I've been sore at people, but in doing step four, when I see what my part is, then I have a chance to be free. I forgive because I can see where I have done the same thing, or I have done similar, or where is my part that I never considered. I cannot be angry, and I can be free. And then the food will, my desire to eat the food will be gone, God willing. The food will not, because the food will kill me if I don't do this process. And I do love it so much, this everything in this paragraph, the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. If I felt I was right and I walked around feeling I was right and I replayed everything that the person says or did, then I'm just hurting myself. So the moments of triumph were short-lived. Eventually, I would be angry at myself. So this process of finding out who I'm angry at, who I'm resentful at, who I'm fearful at, where I'm fearful, all of this going through my life. And once again, not seeing
time,
perfection.
Please.
Oh, okay. Just finishing. Not having perfection helped me tremendously. So thank you. I don't know if I made much sense in the end, but in all, thank you very much for your help. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nancy R. Tina S., it's your turn, followed by Jen A. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Yeah, well, a lot of great shares this morning. So grateful to be here, to be on the line, to be where I need to be. And you know what really gets me is the first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. And, you know, and I think everybody that shared about that sentence. And that is so true. And it is actually the truth. You know, but, you know, for years before I came into the program, that is as far as I ever got. That is as far as ever I ever got. And I don't know, you know, not that I necessarily blame people, but what I did was it put me in the victim role, you know, and feeling sorry for myself, you know, and as long as I stay there, I'm screwed, you know. And, you know, but the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters. Yeah, for sure. You know, up against the wall, you know, I tried to make things happen over and over and over. And, you know, and I'm so grateful in a couple more paragraphs, we're really going to get down to the solution here, you know, because when I'm disturbed, it's all about me. You know, when I'm disturbed, there's something wrong right here. And as long as I continue to look at somebody else, I'm going to continue to stay in the disease. I'm going to continue to stay in the resentment. I'm not going to get any kind of freedom. You know, I'm just going to have that ruminating in my mind and being resentful and angry, you know. And the good, like I said, the good news is, you know, we have 12 steps. And then when I get to you know, it talks about, you know, where am I at fault? You know, what are my mistakes? And I know we're not there yet, but I'm just so grateful to know. And I love also that we went back through our lives because, you know, I didn't understand this. But when I start right where I am, even today, you know, when I do a 10-step, I start right where I am and I go back through yesterday. And then, you know, and what it talks about here is I go back through last month, you know, last year, the last 5 years. And when I do that, I can really, and I concentrate, you know, and it says nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. And I have to be honest about what I'm looking at. But so grateful to be here. And I'm really looking forward to hearing some more shares. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Tina S. from Florida. And now we have Jen A. from Colorado, I want to say, but I might be wrong.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for taking the meeting. My name is Jen A. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God, for saving a girl like me in this program of Overeaters Anonymous and how it works. Well, you have to work it, right? So I remember the first time that I did a 4-step and the sponsor very lovingly said to me, all right, so now, you know, being thorough and honest, we're going to go ahead and write down your life story. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, I sat down and wrote 54 pages front and back of my life story. And in my 5th step, I gave it away to her. And it took me 2 days because the song that I was playing in my head was the Hey, Won't You Play? Another Somebody Done You Wrong song. Everybody had done me wrong. I was sore. I was burnt up. You know, and then I like the book says right here, I stayed angry at myself. My matters in my life got worse. And even after I did this fourth and fifth step, the way I was instructed to do it, which was incorrect, you know, nothing happened for me. In fact, 3, 4, 5 months later, I picked up an 8. Why? Because I hadn't looked honestly and taken stock and inventory at me. I was just looking at other people and how they did me dirty. And so this is why I love the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Line by line, page by page, it gives me instructions on which I'm supposed to follow. And this four step is just the basis of what I'm doing the rest of my life. Because now I'm working the steps and living the steps 1 through 7 when I do my inventory process. So when I'm looking at it and I'm thorough and when I'm thorough and honest from the very start, I can look and say, okay, what's my part? How did I hold my hand in the fire? You know, when we get further down the columns, you're going to be asking yourself more questions. Columns 1, 2, and 3 is just how people burn me up, how they've done me wrong, and where, you know, I'm out of alignment because they've threatened me. And anytime I get threatened, you know what? My walls go up and my fists come out and I get hot and angry. And so this process helps me to uncover, discover, and discard, like was shared before, the ways in which I'm responsible for the outcome. You see, God helps me change that outcome, and he shows me that there's a different way that I can live. Gosh, you know, I'm just so thankful. The more I try to control my life, the worse it got. And today, when I still try and control, because that's me, that's my MO, I'm going to try and fix, manage, and control other people, places, and institutions. And when I don't get my way, and when that's wrong, you know what? I got to go back and I got to look at this step. And I got to do 1 through 4 and 5, 6 and 7, 8 and 9 if I've harmed anybody. So just grateful for this process. Thanks, Lynn. Pass.
Thank you, Jen A. from Colorado. So for those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later this morning, we are continuing our study of the big book and the chapter, How It Works. We're on page 65, the paragraph, We Went Back to Our Lives, and we're reading and commenting on what one paragraph only. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Riska R.
Sigrid F.
Jennifer C.
Sigrid F.
Natalie F.
Did you get Riska R. in Baltimore?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, I've got Rivka R., Sigrid F., Jen C., and Natalie S. Was there anyone else?
F.
Sorry, I missed that.
Sarah F.
Sarah F.
With a D.
Dara, thank you. Okay, anyone else? All righty, let's go with that lineup. We have Rivka R., Sigrid F., Jen C., Natalie S., and Dara S. Hi, Rivka, please go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, Lynn and everybody. Thank you so much for your service. It's Rivka R., recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. And thank you, everyone, for your shares. Just amazing. And I'm also going to share about that that line, too, to conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. As someone said the other day, it doesn't take much. Yesterday, my husband started telling me something that I reacted to right away with, oh, no. And he reacted to my cutting him off by saying, you cut me off before he even finished what he was saying. A little, to my ears, it was a little harsh. And in the past, I would have concluded that he was wrong to cut me off because, even though I had cut him off. And boy, would I stay sore. Like I would shut down. I wouldn't talk to him. So thank God, you know, now living in recovery, little voice of sanity came into my head after that little ping to my ego. And it said to me, he's right, you did cut him off. And I was able to apologize for cutting him off. And what I love about that voice of recovery that, you know, that's allowed to, can come into my head now is that it restores my power of choice. Like before, I would just have been stuck in the prison of my thinking and the negativity and about him and the resentment and all that yuck and garbage. And now it's like there's a freedom. There's like a fresh wind that blows through that's, oh my gosh, you know what? You stepped on his toes. You were wrong there. You really owe him an apology. And I am restored to a place of connection and joy and just being able to live with myself, you know, not live in that remorse, you know, and that place of not being able to allow life to be what it is and just, you know, be okay. So thanks for letting me share, and thanks for all the amazing shares, and I pass.
Thank you, Rivka R. from Baltimore. Now we have Sigrid F., followed by Jen C. Welcome, Sigrid.
Thanks very much for your service. This is Sigrid F. I'm recovered in Boca Raton, Florida today. So step four, I remember the first time I did a step four. And, you know, legitimately, there are times when people hurt us. But what I have found through the years, starting with that step four, was that more often than not, somehow I, in my thinking, have made, you know, created a resentment or a fear that really wasn't intended, and except that because of the way I grew up in chaos, it was familiar, and so I continued to manufacture it with my own thinking. And that first fourth step was that first crack in seeing it for the first time and seeing that I had got the ball rolling in some way, shape, or form, or I had reacted before someone finished their sentence or to something that was completely not intended the way I took it. But, you know, I desired chaos, so I took it a certain way and ran with it. It was my indignation and my ego and my self-will and my desire to be right when I might not be. And that little crack is enough. You know, I love the saying in the big book that our higher powers, we don't have to go very far, right? All we have to do is have a crack in our thinking, our negativity against the higher power helping us. Once we open up that little piece, God is there and ready to help us. And that was kind of what it was like for me. Once I could start to see, oh, wait a minute, that was my part. That's how I participated in this or contributed or however I added into it. Later on, you know, yes, I absolutely got to understand the real wrongs too, and my part in those as well. But in the beginning, I think it was much more about learning about my thinking and how much I contributed. And that helped through the years. And I kept seeing themes repeat over and over and over again. And then I could start to say, oh, okay, God, I really need help with this one. This isn't going away. Help me to figure out, you know, help me to figure out, take it away from me, you know. So anyway, with that, I'll pass. Fourth step was the beginning of a future, and I'm very grateful. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sigrid F. Jen C., it's your turn, followed by Natalie S. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. So what a great paragraph. You know, the purpose of this four-step inventory is to get current. get current with God, with myself, and with another human being. God is already close, closer than my breath, right? He's ever present. But am I close to God? You know, am I close to God? Because what this book teaches me up until this point is that I must get close to God. That's my defense. That's my power. That's my peace. That's my serenity. I must get close to God. I must get right with God. So I do this work to get current. So I can see my pride. So I can see my ego. So I can see my unwillingness to forgive others, right? When my life depends on God's forgiveness. And I so need other people's forgiveness and grace in my life. But there I see on paper how unwilling I am to extend mercy and grace, right? Like I have to see it. Because it gives me humility. How do I get close to God, right? Like, that's what I need more than anything. So how do I get there? Humility, repentance, right? Forgiveness, receiving God's forgiveness, extending it to others and to myself, remorse and regret. You know, this inventory, I see all of my powerlessness. And that remorse and regret has to just keep pointing me back to, wait, were you powerless? Look at all that I did. Were you powerless or were you not powerless? Which one is it? Okay, I was powerless. Okay. So can you receive God's forgiveness? And what if we're all powerless? Isn't that what this book is teaching me, is that we're all ultimately powerless? So people are going to continue to wrong me, right? Like after I get through this work and I'm living in 10, 11, and 12. One fact of my life is that people are going to continue to wrong me. And the reality is that we're all spiritually sick. So some sicker than others. And at any given point, I'm still the sickest one in the room. And why? Why am I still sometimes the sickest one in the room? Page 61. Am I not a victim of the delusion that I can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if I only manage it well? Do I still not fall victim to that delusion that I can get my needs met from this world? So I keep trying to manage it well, and then as soon as one thing is in place, boom, I obsess about something else. Am I still not just a victim of that delusion? And only God can save me, right? So how did I get recovered? Layers of step one, layers of step two, layers of step three, and layers of step four. And each time I did an inventory, it was one more layer, right? So keep doing the work.
Time, please.
Keep doing the work that gets us to a place where we really believe that we're nothing without God and that God is everything. And it's one thing to say it and to read it, but it's another thing to really believe it and to put all your eggs in that basket. Love you all. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. from Greenville, South Carolina. Now we have Natalie S., followed by Dara S. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you so much. Yep, this is Natalie S., recovered in Indiana. And, you know, I love the idea of layering because today I was like, yeah, for me, this was not an experience. But this was not, you know, like the ultimate white light experience. I couldn't even see my dishonesty, and I thought I was thorough, but I wasn't. And what I realized in my first fourth step, which I did a couple of years ago when I first came into program, I just look at my first sponsor and I think, oh my gosh, thank you so much for your patience with me, because I knew nothing, and I couldn't see what I couldn't see, but gratefully, amid all the chaos in my life, God has, peeled away each layer of the onion by helping me to see my dishonesty, mainly through fellows in program and going to hearing other people share how he revealed that to them. Because I can't see it. But you know what? I can point out your imperfections and your lack at a heartbeat. And what God's showing me now is that I like to think of it as an artichoke, and he's peeling away each layer of the artichoke, because in the heart, in the core of an artichoke is the heart, right? And to me, that resonates with, in the heart of every man, woman, and child, there is a seed of God. And what this program shows me at every circumstance, it's like a fork in the road, you know? It's like a fork in whatever I want to do, or the behavior or the eating. It's a choice. I can either choose the way that I've been taught through the 12 steps, or I can choose to go back to my disordered thinking and chaos and feeling pain. And believe me, I do that. I did it yesterday. I wanted to fight God on what he wanted me to do. And I didn't do it gratefully, but I fought him all day. And I can't tell you how much pain I was in physically. That's how God reveals it to me. And as he shows me how to surrender, and as I call fellows who help me, I can release that dishonesty and get to a place where I say, okay, God, you know what? It's really true. I control absolutely nothing. I can't even control myself. So how in the world can I think I can control the world or someone else or what people are doing? And hopefully...
Time, please.
Thanks, Lynn. Hopefully, as I develop in this program, I'll be able to see that other people aren't really out to get me. They're out to protect themselves like I want to protect myself, and offer them the same grace and peace and tolerance that I've been given. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much, Lynn.
Thank you, Natalie S. from Indiana. And now we have Dara S. Good morning, Dara.
Hi, this is Dara with the D-F, as in Frank. I'm from Virginia, I'm actually, this isn't my first fourth step, but I just finished a fourth step now, and I'm giving it away on New Year's Eve to my sponsor, which I'm really happy about. But I've got a big challenge, which is something that I put in my fourth step. My mother is the person who I've blamed all my life for everything, and we don't get along, and she's very difficult for me to handle. She's actually not doing all that great right now, and my sister and I have decided to fly down and go. We were initially going to fly down to help her, but she's like insisted she doesn't want help. So we're going down to visit. I actually am a hospice companion as a volunteer role, and I am really going to pray. I've been praying to God to get out of myself and to go down there as a just looking at my mother as though she's one of my hospice patients, and just hold her hand, do what she wants to do, listen to her without talking back or trying to change her. Yes, she's been very difficult to me all my life, but I've been difficult to her all her life, you know, since I was born. And it's been an oil and water situation. And I'm just really looking forward to putting myself, my self-will, my ego, all my selfishness aside, and just being able for maybe the first time in my life to be there for my mother in a way that I never have, just being there with just to listen and hold her hand and do what she wants to do. And if she doesn't want to do anything that I want to do, or if she wants to do nothing, or if she just wants to sit in front of the TV and watch, you know, say yes to the dress, then I can hold her hand and sit in front of the TV and watch. And if she wants to yell at me, well, I can choose to leave the room for a few minutes until I calm down. My goal is to be non-reactive. So anyway, this is what I'm learning. And it's a great chance for me to make amends jumping to a different step. but I'm glad it's coming at this time when I've been working on my fourth step and sort of know where I stand and what my wrongs are. And thank you so much for letting me share iPads.
Thank you, Dara F. from Virginia. We have time for two more shares. Who would like that time, please?
Anita Ross J. M.
Okay, that's great. I heard Anita J. and Russ M.
Janice.
Good morning, Anita. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. this is Anita J., recovered in Massachusetts. Whenever we get to this with the resentments, resentment is reliving. And why would you want to? Well, the only reason I did was because I didn't know any other way. Resentment is the number one killer. It always has been. I came to see early in this recovery, that my mother, the mentally ill alcoholic, was no different than I was, she might have had a pint and I had one. And it just seemed different in those days. Nobody thought if you were fat, that was a thing. Totally different. And, anyway, the point of the story is I have to get rid of resentments. I will eat again. I will, I took a lick in August. It's God's grace that I didn't go any further. Because my son isn't doing what I wished he would do. I have since turned him over. God sent me a picture of him as a hurt little kid. That changed my whole attitude. God knew exactly what to send to me. And I'm praying, don't make any bigger deal because it's Christmas with one of those Hallmark reunions, that's a TV show. So what I want to do is just be the best human being and mother, if I can be to him, and a mother to the rest of my other child. And anyway, you know what I mean. I don't want to live out of resentment. And God doesn't want me to either. His choices are so much better than mine, so I'm going to follow him, follow the yellow brick road, which leads to God and my higher power. So that's all I want to say tonight. Today, it's morning, folks, and I pass.
Thank you, Anita J. And Russ M., you're going to be our last share. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, family. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater outside of Philly. So this thing with the victim and blaming, man, if I could get paid to be a victim, I'd be in the upper echelon of earning capacity, man. I was great at that, but at some point in your life, All right, for example, I was molested. Okay, somebody got me at 7 years old. Okay, no problem. It was rough. But at 52, sometime you got to just grow the hell up and get over it. That allowed me to live in the past, blame, resent, and all. And that's why I hate. That's why I hate, because I, not just because of that incident, but because I never could face it. And with this fourth step, getting it down on paper, that opened my eyes, man, to a lot. Like, I think I'm the greatest guy in the world, the only Christian in the world. These people can't be like me, judging left and right. Yo, bro, you're flawed. You got to write it down. You got to work through it. And that's where I believe God comes in there. I don't know about for anybody else. I know for me, once I did that, I start taking a real hard look at myself with God's help. I'm free. And I had to grow up. I was a big-ass baby. I'm still a baby, but, I'm working on it. Now I got the steps to keep working through it. So, all right, thank you for letting me share. I pass. Love you.
Thank you, Russ M. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Wednesday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Wednesday, December the 18th, is 22003. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Judith S.T., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, everyone. Judith S.T. from Maryland. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.